So we're going to talk about dreams. It's a series called Dream On that we're starting today, and I want to first just lay the groundwork for this series and let you know that this our prayer for this series is that when we're finished with this 4-week series, that not only are the dreams alive inside of you that God placed there, but also that you are fully connected to them. You are walking step by step with them, with those dreams, and that you become world changers because of it. Because that's what I believe God has ordained all of us to do, that he's destined for all of us to do. He's destined for each one of us to become a world changer. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this is what my prayer is. My prayer is that at the end of this series, in fact, I pray right now, Jesus, at the end of this message today, and may we be running through the fields of your promises with our hands held high, knowing that we are victorious, and knowing, Father, that our dreams are alive, and knowing, Father, that you will fulfill every one of them. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, Father. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you crush fear today, that you crush doubt today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you totally demolish discouragement and despair today in this place. And let your name be lifted high and glorified in each heart in Jesus' name. I feel like there are many believers in the body of Christ today who you have no idea what your God-given dream is. I feel like there are many believers in the body of Christ today who once had a God-given dream, were connected to it, knew what it was, maybe in your childhood, but somewhere along the line, that dream was stolen from you or it was crushed and it's no longer breathing. And you've been so disconnected from it for so long that you don't even know that you have a dream living inside of you. And I believe there are some believers in the body today that you know what your dream is, you're connected to it, but you don't know how to get to it. You don't know how to get there, and you're maybe weary with the waiting on that dream to come to life. So I'm going to just open up with Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2:28, very familiar prophetic scripture. I'm sorry, is there something wrong with my microphone? It's too close to my mouth. How's that? Is that better? You can turn me down if I'm too loud. I might get loud this morning, all right? So feel free. Is that better? Yes. Still ringing? Turn me down. You tell me when I'm good. How's that? Is that good? Is that better? Okay. If it gets too loud, you just do this. Joel chapter 2:28 says this, "Then after doing all those things," okay, let's stop right there. Whenever you see a scripture like this, whenever you see a passage like this, where it says, then after doing all those things, don't you think it's important to find out what all those things are? Yes. Amen? Don't just keep reading. Go back and find out what all those things are. Because I think that's pertinent to the story, to this information. So then after doing all those things, what are those things? Well, you can find those things in Joel chapter 2, verse 1 through 27. But let me just summarize what all those things are. All those things are these three things. One, it's God conquering our enemy. Two, is God restoring to us everything that was stolen from us. And three, is God bringing revival to us. That's what those three things are. All those things are these three things basically summarized. You can read in Joel chapter 2, verse 1 through 27, those things. But listen to what it says. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Now, again, this is a prophetic scripture. Back then it was prophetic, but I believe it's already being fulfilled today. I believe it's already happening right now, and we're in the midst of it. But think about this. What happened when Jesus came? When Jesus came, he was crucified on the cross. He was buried in the grave. He was raised to life with resurrection power. And so because of that, not only were our sins forgiven, not only that were our sins taken away, not just covered up, but taken away, but also everything that had been stolen from us was restored to us. Everything that Adam had given away in the Garden of Eden had been deceived to give to the serpent. Everything that had been stolen at that time was restored, completely restored. Our inheritance was restored to us at that very moment that Jesus was raised to life. Amen? Okay, not only that, not only were our sins forgiven and everything was restored to us, but also, this is the cool part about it, but also everything, every promise that God had made was fulfilled in our inside of us at that moment. Every promise was fulfilled. You say, well, how can that be so? Well, in God, with God, He lives outside of time. He is not confined by time. So where God is, everything's already been fulfilled. Everything's already been accomplished. Everything's already been done. So it's already been done. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It's done. Everything is finished. Everything is accomplished. Everything is done. It's all done. All those promises are yes and amen. All those promises are so be it. All those promises have already come to pass inside of you. You just need to step into them. So this is what he's talking about. He's saying, so after doing all those things, after I restore everything, after I forgive all of your sins, after I revive you, then I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all people. So Jesus was buried, and then he was resurrected to life, and then he ascended to the Father, and then 50 days later, what happened? Jesus poured out his spirit upon all people. He sent Holy Spirit like tongues of fire, and they rested on people. He poured out His Spirit. He fulfilled His promises. It's not something that we're waiting on. It's something that's already been done. All we have to do is step into it. We don't have to wait. Well, God, fill us with Your outpouring. God, fill us with Your Spirit. God, pour out Your Spirit upon the earth. He's already poured out His Spirit upon the earth. It's already here. We just need to step into it. Amen? So, then it says this, after that it says, then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on your servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth below, blood and fire and columns of smoke. Okay, I'm going to stop there. But I want to show you this before I move on. First of all, you need to understand this is for all people. Just because this scripture says young and old, it says men and women, sons and daughters, that doesn't mean it's only for them. It doesn't mean only your sons and daughters will prophesy. It doesn't mean only old men will dream dreams. It doesn't mean only young men will see visions. It means all people will do this. He's just covering everybody. If you look back at the scripture, look at it. He's covering everybody. Sons, daughters, old, young, servants, men, women. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter what social class you come from. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you're short or tall, you're skinny or you're not so skinny. That was the PC way for saying fat. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and all of these things will take place. You will prophesy, and you will dream dreams, and you will see visions, and all of these things will happen in your life. You will do it. Right here, right now, this will happen in you. So you need to understand that this is for everybody. So take your hands and do this right here and say, that's me. That will happen in me. Amen. Right here, right now, it's happening. It's happening in our lives right now. We're seeing it unfold in front of us. Last week was awesome. How many of you were at Outpouring or at the service last week at McMoran? Okay, it was amazing. It was awesome. It's unfolding in front of us. This radical, dramatic shift in the atmosphere is happening right here, right now in the Blue Water area. It's happening today. It will happen tomorrow. It will continue to happen. It's not something that we have to wait on. It's just something we have to step into. So I'm going to focus on this dream dreams part of this prophetic scripture. Dream dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. That means everybody. It doesn't just mean old men will dream dreams. Let me start with the dreams word. There's two dreams there. Dream, dreams. I'm going to start with dreams with an S. That word is the Hebrew word halom. And it means this. There's a twofold meaning to it. It means a series of thoughts, images, or feelings that occur during sleep as a natural altered state of awareness with a focus on the images dreams invoke. So this is night dreams. And this is going to be covered, but not today. Kim will cover that next week in her message next week. She's going to talk all about the dreams that we have at night while we're sleeping. Not just those dreams, but also maybe some like what they mean and how God can show us the meaning of those dreams and the interpretation of those dreams and how powerful that is. And the fact that most dreams that we have at night are God dreams. He speaks to us while we sleep. And he speaks to us many times through dreams. And she'll cover that fully next week. So don't miss next week's. It's going to be an amazing service. But the second fold meaning of the word halom is this meaning. It means dream revelation. And a dream revelation is a communication from God to make something known, which may include both verbal and rational communication as well as images. In other words, this is the dream that God placed inside of you from the moment you were conceived, the moment you were created. The moment you were created, he placed a dream in you. Every single person that's ever been created before and ever will be created has a God dream inside of them. We all have God dreams. It's there. It's the dream revelation. It's this halom. Halom, a God dream. Say it with me. Halom. Say halom. It's a God dream that was birthed inside of us the moment we were conceived. The moment we were created, he breathed it into us. You can say it this way, it's our purpose for living. It's our destiny. It's our promise. It's the promise of God to you personally. Think about this. Think how amazing this is. You and I were created unique. There's not another you on the face of the earth. There never has been and there never will be. Ever. In all of creation, there will never be another you. Isn't that amazing? Now some of you are thinking, thank goodness that there will never be another one of them. We never say that about ourselves, right? It's always somebody else. Never will there be another you. But here's the cool thing. With the uniqueness that God created you with, he also put a unique dream inside of you that's only for you. Specifically for you, personally for you. It has your spiritual DNA all over it. He create just like your DNA is unique, your spiritual DNA is unique as well. He created you for a specific purpose, for a specific path, for a specific dream. He wants to fulfill that dream that he placed inside of you, but you have to stay connected to the one who gave you the dream and then stay connected to the dream. If you don't stay connected to the dream, then all kinds of chaos happens in our lives. I think this is an amazing thing. When I think about this, it blows my mind that he created us so unique and then created us with a unique dream. The second word in this is dream. Dream, dreams. I just covered dreams. Let me show you what this word dream means. It's the Hebrew word halam. So the first word is halom. The second word is halom. The first word in here, the dream, is halam. So halam, halom is how it's said in Hebrew. Halam, halom. Halam means twofold meaning again. It means to grow strong and to restore to health. To grow strong and restore to health. So halam means grow strong and restore to health. Halom means that God-given dream that was placed inside of you. Here's the entire meaning when you put these two words together, that you shall dream dreams. This is what it means. When you dream dreams, it means you will grow strong and be restored to health when you stay connected to your God-given dream revelation. That, to me, is mind-blowing. I believe there are many people today in the body of Christ that you are not, you're weak You're weak and you're in sick health because you're disconnected from your God dream. We're walking around and we're weak and we're in poor health and we don't know why we can't get any better. And all we need to do is get connected to the God dream that He placed inside of us, and all of a sudden we'll start to get strong and our health will come back to us and we'll grow strong in our health. But because we're separated from that God dream, think about it. When you feel like you have no purpose in life, isn't that depressing? Oh, y'all, why do you think the suicide rate has escalated so much over the last several decades? Why do you think it's going out of control? There are so many people who are disconnected from their God dream. And they're just, why do you think that when we blame it on generations, we blame it on the millennials, they have no purpose in life. Oh, the millennials, they just wander around. Oh, my goodness, my son, he's 30 years old and he's still at home playing video games. I've heard it. Well, it's not that they're useless. It's not that you were a bad parent. Oh, somebody needs to hear that today. It's not that you failed. You know what it is? They're not connected to their God dream. They're not connected to their God purpose. And because they're not connected to their God dream and their God purpose, then they're wandering around aimlessly, and they don't know where to go, and they don't know what to turn to, and all they can think about is, my life is worthless, and I need to end this thing. And if we'll just help them get connected to their God dream, if we'll just show them that God placed a dream inside of them, He made them a promise from the moment they were conceived, if we'll just reveal this to them, then all of a sudden strength will come back to their bodies. All of a sudden this strength of health, this health will come back to their minds, and they'll be healthy and strong, and they'll move forward in the purposes of God for their lives. Wow, I feel God in this place right now. So powerful right now. We have the answer for what's ailing our society. We have the answer for the wandering children out there who have no idea what they're called to, what their purpose is. But if we don't connect to our God dream, then how can we show others that they can connect to it as well? How can the blind lead the blind? They'll both fall into a ditch. If we're walking around like, man, this is not exactly what I thought life was going to turn out to be. I mean, I love the Lord and everything, and I'm just glad I'm saved. But, man, I thought there was more to this. I thought something more was going to happen. I just thought that, I don't know what I thought. I don't know what was going on. I just know that I love Jesus, and He lives in me, but there's an emptiness here. You know how many people I've counseled that have said that to me? I go to church all the time. I go to church, pastor, and I love the Lord. I know I love Him, but I don't understand why I feel just so empty. I don't understand why I feel so depressed. I don't understand why this despair just won't leave me alone. I can tell you why. Because you lost focus of the dream that God placed inside of you. Somewhere along the line, that dream was crushed. Somewhere along the line, that dream stopped breathing. And when that dream stopped breathing, it sucked the breath out of you too. So God wants us to see that He prophesied this. He said, when I send my son Jesus, I'm going to take your sins completely away. I'll take them away. But that's just the beginning. I've said this to you many times. The cross is not the end. The cross is only the beginning. We need to quit camping around the cross. I don't want to stop there, because we could camp around the gravestone too. We could camp around the tomb as well. We need to not camp around the tomb. Yes, Jesus was raised with resurrection power, and that same resurrection power lives inside of me. But we don't need to camp there either, because Jesus also ascended into heaven. And after He ascended to heaven, He sent the Comforter. In fact, He said, I will send one who is greater than me. So if you just stay at the tomb, then you're missing out on something. Oh, I know this is radical. I know it's shaking up some people's religion right now. I know some people are like, I like my cross hanging around my neck. Well, good, wear that cross. That's okay. Just don't camp out there. Because after the cross, after your sins were taken away, he promised you resurrection power. After the resurrection power, he promised you a spirit that would come and live inside of you. And when the spirit came and lived inside of you, it would wake up all those things that he placed there. So I have three questions for you today. Three questions about these God-given dreams that have been placed inside of us. That will hopefully, these questions, with the help of Holy Spirit, will wake us up and see what has been there all along. So question number one is this. Have you let the circumstances of life suck the life out of your God-given dreams? Have you done that? Have you allowed that? You may not know. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just irritated with you talking right now. I don't know. I'm serious. Listen, if you're irritated right now, that it's not because you don't like my voice. And it's certainly not because I'm not good looking, because I am. I'm not joking. I'm good looking. But that's not why. You're irritated because the enemy has robbed you of something, and he doesn't want you to get it back. He doesn't want you to get it back. So if he can make you irritated right now with just listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth, then maybe you'll just shut me off and you won't listen to this and you won't be free when you leave here today. So I'm just asking you right now, if you feel a little irritation right now, it's nothing else but the enemy trying to stop you from hearing Holy Spirit. So just cast that out. Just don't partner with that right now. Listen to what I'm saying. Have you let the circumstances of life suck the life out of your God-given dreams? Somewhere along the line, your dreams stopped breathing. Maybe it's because things didn't go as you had planned out in your mind. Maybe you thought this is what the dream looked like, and because things haven't gone in that direction, all of a sudden the dream is dead. Maybe it's because you didn't have the support that you thought you needed or that you thought you should have from the people around you that are supposed to love you. Maybe they didn't support you enough. Maybe they didn't prop you up enough. Maybe they didn't tell you you were good enough. Maybe they didn't tell you you could achieve these dreams. Or maybe it's because of some of the mistakes you made in your life. Even post-Jesus, some mistakes you made in your life, and you believe the lies of the enemy that's saying to you, you're not worthy of that dream anymore. Everybody faces these obstacles. Everybody faces these and many more. But we can't allow these obstacles from distracting us away from the one who gave us the dream in the first place. Because the moment we take our eyes off of him, see what happens is the enemy brings these obstacles in our life, and if we focus on the obstacle, then we focus on the next obstacle, and then the next obstacle, and then the next. And how many of you know they'll never stop coming if we're focusing on them? Well, they'll never stop coming if we just stay looking at the obstacles. And then before we know it, we focused on the obstacle so much that the one who gave us the dream is no longer in focus. And so the dream dies and the obstacles come to life. And all we see is, man, I got to go to work Monday morning. Some of y'all are already thinking about it. Hate that job. There's no way that job is on my dream path. There's no way. But I'm there and I don't understand it. I'm just discouraged and I just don't want to do this anymore. Why is this happening in my life? Well, because you're focused on the obstacles instead of on the one who gave you the dream. Genesis 37 tells us the story of Joseph. Joseph had a dream that one day his family would all bow down to him. And in fact, he had two dreams. It was two consecutive nights he had these dreams that his family would bow down to him. And so he went and told, you know, his brothers about the dream. And Joseph was youngest, so when he goes and tells his brothers, you know, that's really a smart thing to do. I'm going to go tell my older brothers, hey, you all are going to bow down to me one day. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich, too. I prophesy that in your future. But anyway, that's beside the point. I mean, Joseph, I mean, think about it. He has this dream that all his family's going to bow down to him. So he goes and tells his family, you know, this is the dream that one day you'll all bow down to me. And they knew what that meant. They knew that he had to be the ruler of the land in order for that to happen. So the dream was that he would be the ruler of the land. That's a pretty lofty dream. That's a God dream. God gave him that dream. And so here's what happened. Just shortly after he has this dream, and he goes and you know, he tells his father and everything, and then he goes, his father sends him out to find his brothers. It's just a short while after he has a dream. And what happens? His brothers sell him into slavery. He's sold into slavery. He gets, you know, they want to kill him and everything, so they leave him in a pit, but he gets sold into slavery. And so imagine what would go on in our minds. Think about through your life what happened. Well, God gives me this dream that I'm going to rule over the land, and then I'm sold into slavery? Well, that can't be part of God's plan for my life. That can't be the path to this lofty dream. There's no way that these two can connect. So something's wrong. Dream is dead. That's it. So he's sold into slavery, and then you probably know the story, but if you don't, I'm just going to go through it. And so what happens is he starts to gain favor with his master. And he's gaining favor with his master, and man, things are going good. He's gaining favor, so it's almost like we've had this happen before, and it's like, ooh, dream's alive. I can see it again. I can see it happening. I can see it come to fruition in my life. And then he's accused of rape. Dream is dead. I'm no good. I'm worthless. This isn't going to happen. This can't be God's plan. This can't be his path. Let me ask you this. Why is it that when obstacles come into our lives, we focus on the obstacles instead of focusing on the one who gave us the dream, who promised us the promise, who placed the dream inside of us? Why don't we ever see that God can use anything that happens in our life to loft us, to launch us toward our dreams? Instead, we look at the obstacle like, this can't be God's plan for my life. Instead of, like this right here. Man, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So like this right here is an obstacle, right? And when it comes, I'm not going to kick it or throw it or anything. Don't worry. Get it out of my way. But there's an obstacle in our life. And instead of doing what we should do, we look at this obstacle like, this can't be from God. I can't see this being the path to that dream that God placed inside of me. Dream is dead, and we just stop right here. Instead, we should be like, oh, obstacle, good, whoop. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, man, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, think about this. Look at this for a second. I wish I had just a square box, because that was pretty good right there, because I barely put any weight on that, see, because I'm trying to protect our investment. But when that happens, what happens here? What happens when I?
Elevated.
What? Elevated. That's good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Look, what's happening with my muscles? Anybody ever work out and do one of these things right here? Hold on, I got 20 more to do. Now I got to get my left leg evened out. Oh. Cat-like reflexes right there. Oh, man, I almost broke an ankle. But do you see what I'm saying? Just because it's in our way doesn't mean it can't strengthen us. God can use it. He said, I work all things together for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. To my promise, to the dream that I placed inside of you. Mm. So he's accused of rape. He's like, goes to prison. He's in prison. Joseph, we're talking about Joseph, he's in prison. And the cupbearer and the baker get thrown into prison. Now, I don't know why they got thrown into prison, but the baker, he must have baked an awful bad cake, right? That must have been a bad cake to get thrown into prison. But anyway, that's beside the point. So the cupbearer and the baker get thrown into prison with Joseph. And Joseph's there, and they have dreams, and he interprets their dreams. And the cupbearer, is so pleased with the interpretation that Joseph gives him that he says, I'm going to remember you to the king. I'm going to tell the king all about you, the Pharaoh. I'm going to tell Pharaoh all about you when I get out of here. And Joseph's like, yes, dream's alive. Joseph didn't say this. This is what we would do. Dream's alive, right? Because we only focus on the good things. We only focus on the positive things. We think that's the direction of God, but anytime an obstacle's there, well, that can't be God. Messing up some theology right here. So the cupbearer gets out, and he forgets about Joseph. Dream's dead. One more obstacle. How in the world can this be God? Two full years later, he's still in prison. And the king has, Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh has a dream, and he's like, I need you to interpret this dream. And he calls all his whatever, magicians, all that, perform dream interpreters to interpret this dream, and they can't do it. And the cupbearer remembers. He's like, oh, dude, I forgot about Joseph. My bad. 2 years in prison. And he says, oh, Pharaoh, there's this guy in prison that interpreted my dream. I think he can do it. And Pharaoh summons Joseph. He comes before him, and he says, heard you can interpret my dream. And Joseph says, no, I can't. How many of you know this? Okay, how many of this is the first time you've heard this? Joseph says, no, I can't. That's what he said. But I know one who can. He says, my God can interpret your dream. Now, here's the point of this. All of that trouble, all those obstacles, and Joseph never took his eyes off the one who placed the dream inside of him. The whole time he was focused. This tells me the whole time he's focused on the one, right? He didn't get selfish with this. He didn't forget about the one who placed the dream inside of him. Because think about it, he could have said, yes, I can interpret your dream, but he didn't say that, did he? He said, no, I can't, but I know one who can. And he's the one who placed the dream inside of me. And so Joseph interprets his dream, and the king is so pleased with his interpretation of the dream that the king makes him second in command of the entire land. Now, that's awesome, and I could stop right there. And sadly, many of us do in our own lives. But the dream hadn't been fulfilled yet. The promise wasn't complete. Because the promise was, the dream was that all of his family would come and bow before him. One thing you need to understand is, see, that's another thing. That if we have selfishness inside of it, well, you know what, I'm going to wait on that. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But the dream wasn't fulfilled yet. The promise wasn't fulfilled because his family hadn't come and bowed before him. But his family did come. His family came because of circumstances, because of obstacles. Remember, there was a famine in the land. And the reason that his family came, the reason that his brothers came before him was because of obstacles, because they had no food to eat. And they needed to go to Egypt to find food because they heard about all the supply that they had in Egypt. So because of the obstacles, his brothers came before him and bowed down before him without even knowing that it was their brother Joseph. But here's the cool part of the whole thing. Because that's not the end of it either. Here's the cool part. After it was all said and done, after his father and his brother Benjamin came, and they all came, after they all came and bowed before him, the entire family was reunited, and every one of them came to live in Egypt with Joseph. And they had beautiful houses, and they had more food than they knew what to do with. They were provided with everything. The everything they needed was provided. Oh, y'all, come on, I want you to see this. I want you to see what Jesus said in Matthew. I want you to see what he said. He said, seek first. Don't worry about all this stuff. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about the clothes you wear. Don't worry about your cars. Don't worry about your houses. Don't worry about the path that I'm taking you on to this dream. Don't worry about any of that. Just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well. Everything. God's saying, I'll fulfill the dreams that I placed in your heart. I'll do it, but you have to trust me. You have to stay in step with me. You have to get on my path. Wow. So the third question is this. Have you allowed the people around you to crush your God-given dreams? A God-given dream is not about what others want you to do or what they think you can do. Please hear this today. A God-given dream is not about what others want you to do or what they think you can do. We all start off the same. We all start off the same. Look at somebody and say, we all start off the same. Here's how we start off. You know how we start off? Unaware of the impossibilities. We all start unaware of the impossibilities. We are taught the impossibilities by the DCW. Do you know what the DCW is? It's something I made up. It's called the Dream Crushers of the World. We start off in this life completely unaware of impossibilities. You are not born with this filter that says this is possible, this is not possible. You are born with no filter, and everything that in life is possible to you. Everything. There are no impossibilities at birth. Y'all, you get that? None. Think about it. Even in childhood, for a time, we live in this world that nothing's impossible. I know there are many of you here that weren't here a couple years ago. I did this sermon, and I was talking about the imagination, to awaken the imagination. This is kind of the same thing today, to awaken the dream that God placed inside of us. Remember, I went back here, and I brought out a stick. This is going to be my stick today. Remember, I went out there, and I brought out, it was just a wooden stick, just off a tree. Remember that? And I brought the stick out, and I said, what is this? And some people said, it's a stick. I said, no, it's not. It's a gun. Right? It's a rocket ship. It's a broom. Listen, y'all, I know we live in the day of video games, but you remember when, I'm 51, do you remember when you were a kid, anybody close to my age? And you remember when you were a kid, this was your video game? Just a wood stick from the backyard? That was it, right? We had imaginations. Those imaginations were placed inside of us by our Creator. Think about it. God said, let's create man in our image. In other words, what He imagined, we became. If He created us in His image, don't you think He placed His imagination inside of us? Oh, please hear this morning. Don't you think He placed His imagination inside of us? And if God's imagination lives inside of us, then what is impossible? Nothing. Nothing. There are no impossibilities. None. Because the Creator of the universe lives inside of me. And He placed this dream inside of me. So it doesn't matter what anybody says. Let the DCW talk. I know what God promised me. And it's not impossible. I feel dreams coming to life right now. I feel some people right now. Just right when I said that, you've had people in your life that have been crushing your dreams your entire life. It's time to say, uh-uh, I'm not listening to that garbage anymore. I'm only going to listen to the one who placed the dream inside of me. A God-given dream is not about what others want you to do or what they think you can do. Am I only on question number two? Lord, have mercy. Let me get through this so I can get to number three. We all start with the unaware of the impossibilities, and so here's what I want you to see. Most people will only tell you you can do what has already been done. You hear me? Most people will only encourage you to do what has already been done. Most people have a hard time encouraging you to do something that has never been done before. Why? Because they've never done it, and they don't see the possibilities of how it can happen. They're limited by their carnal imagination, and so all they can see is what's possible. They can't see the impossible, and they certainly can't encourage you on toward it. So we need to understand this. We need to see this, that people are not going to be able to do that. There are going to be dream crushers in our life. The world is full of dream crushers. I mean, you know, most of the time these dream crushers, they don't mean to crush our dreams. Their dreams have been so crushed that they don't know what else to do but speak that garbage. It just flows out of them. Their dreams have been so crushed, and they can't see the impossible. So since they haven't accomplished the impossible, it's difficult for them to cheer you on to the impossible. In fact, many times, these people will be some of the closest people in our lives. They'll be the ones that are supposed to love us the most, and they'll be the very ones that tell you, get your head out of the clouds. Stop daydreaming. Stop being a dreamer. Come back down to earth. What are you doing out there pursuing that? Get a real job. Go do this. Go to school. Do that. Why don't you just stop dreaming? Well, you're always a dreamer. And they think that they're doing us a favor. They think that they're helping us out. It's so much so that we see this in the church today. It's infiltrated the church. I hate this lie from the enemy that's become this mantra in the church. You've heard it said before. You've heard people say something like this. Well, they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Anybody ever hear that before? Lie from the enemy. I would reverse that. I would reverse it and say, you're so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. You can't accomplish what God designed you to accomplish for the kingdom of God because you got your mind so focused on the earthly things. You're so grounded on this earth, you can't see the impossibilities. Y'all with me so far? I mean, these are lies from the enemy that have infiltrated our way of thinking. And so we think this way. And so we say these things. And they come out of our mouths before we even know it. And we're raising our children like this. And our children are just walking around aimlessly going, I feel something inside drawing me to something. But I don't know what it is because everybody around me says, that's just a dream. I should just let that go. Before Joseph was sold into slavery, think about this, before he was sold into slavery and he was coming toward his brothers, they saw him coming from far off. You know what they said? Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him in one of these pits. That's what they said. It's in the Word of God. Here comes the dreamer, mocking him because he had this dream that they couldn't see the possibilities of. There's no way that this can be true. There's no way that this can come to fruition. There's no way that it can happen. Why? Maybe because their dreams had been so crushed that there was no way that they could see that in his life. Here comes the dreamer. It's like babies raising babies. Think about it. Babies can't raise babies. Could you see a 6-month-old trying to raise an infant? It wouldn't work, would it? I want you to get this. I want you to get this clearly. The reason that you can encourage your infant children or grandchildren, the reason that you can encourage them to walk, and the reason that we're so good at that is because we can walk. Right? Come on, you can do it. Well, how do you know they can do it? Because you do it. But can we encourage people to do something that has never been done before? That we've never done before? That we've never seen before? Can we have the same type of encouragement for that? That's what we should be doing. Can you imagine a 6-month-old, a 3-month-old, a 5-month-old going, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. I can't do it, but you can. I hope it's quiet in here because you're getting this. Instead of looking for people to cheer us on toward our dream, why don't we look to the one who placed the dream inside of us? He's the only one who can truly give us the encouragement that we need to achieve the impossible. In fact, Jesus said his voice is the only voice we should listen to. Did you know that? Oh, I see it already. People are like, oh, wait a minute. You mean I can't listen to good godly advice? Just listen to what you just said. Godly advice. If it's the word of God, if it comes from here, if I'm giving you a word from this right here, you better listen to it. But you need to make sure that it's from God. There will be people in your life that say, I'm for you, I'm with you, I want to encourage you, brother, I want to encourage you, sister, I want to build you up, but they're not giving you godly advice. Their advice is coming from a selfish standpoint. And I'm not trying to crush people or criticize people that may be doing that. I'm just saying they don't know how to. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Matthew 17:20, you don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, that if you had faith is even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Say that with me. Nothing would be impossible. Now, I just want to tell you this. When I was a kid, when I was a child, I believed I could fly. See, you're laughing already. Thank you, dream crushers of the world. You get your membership card on the way out. I believed I could fly. Listen, I had dreams. Almost every night I had dreams that I could fly. I remember it vividly. I remember where I was living. I was living over on Able Drive up here in Fort Gratiot, right across from Fort Gratiot School. I was living in that house over there, and I remember in my bedroom I had this rainbow-colored carpet. I picked it out. It's colorful. I was laying in that bedroom at night, and I remember so often, almost every single night, I had a dream that I could fly. And in the dream, it always started off like this, where I was leaning forward. I was just out in the yard somewhere, just playing, and I was leaning forward, and then I just started to go. And I had this faith in the dream. I had this faith that when I leaned forward far enough that I wouldn't hit the ground and I'd just take off. And in the dream, I would just take off and I'd soar. And at first in the dreams, I would just stay about this high above the ground because my faith wasn't that strong yet, even in the dream. You know what I'm saying? And so if I did take a tumble, it wouldn't be from way up there. But then later on in my dreams, I started to soar higher and higher above the trees. And I'm just flying. And I remember a little bit of fear at the moment, like, wow, can this be happening? But at the same time, I remember this reassurance that I could do this, that I had the power to do it. Now you're like, well, that's just a dream. That's just one of those night dreams that Kim's going to talk about. No, you don't understand. When I woke up the next morning, I believed I could fly. I believe I can fly. Song wasn't out then, but I probably would have sung it. And I'm out in the yard, and I find a place out in the yard because I had already learned that there are dream crushers in the world. There are people that will laugh at you and make fun of you for your dream. And if you share it with them, they'll really laugh. And so I'd find a place out in the yard somewhere that was just away from everything, maybe behind some trees. And the next morning, I'd find a place, and I'd just start leaning forward in the physical. And I'm emotional about this because I'm connecting with what God was doing in my life back then. But here's the thing I want you to see. You say, well, that was just a dream. But I believe it could happen in the physical. I was a child. And even though I had experienced some dream crushers, I still had enough there in me, enough of the believing the impossible, that I believed as a child in the physical that if I leaned forward, that all of a sudden I was going to take off and fly. Well, you say, well, that's stupid. That can't happen. That's not real. Well, you know what? I disagree with you. I just read the word of God. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, get up and move from here to there, and it will happen. Nothing will be impossible. Well, he wasn't talking about physical mountains, really? Really? He wasn't talking about physical mountains? Let me prove it to you. Let me prove that he was. If you came up here and said, I got a tumor in my body, and it's there, and it's going to kill me if it doesn't get out of my body, and I said to that tumor, leave that body in the name of Jesus, and that tumor got up and left your body, you'd be okay with that, wouldn't you? You just say, oh, that's the word of God. Yeah, that's the word of God. You just caused something physical to move. Jesus. See, I'm taking the lid off this thing. I'm ripping the mask off this sham. I'm telling you right now, the enemy has lied to us for too long. He's lied to us for too long. And we won't touch this stuff because we're afraid it looks like witchcraft. But don't you understand that Satan is the one that has been the copycat and the mimic, and he's taken what God has created and he's twisted it and he's perverted it. But God created this stuff. God said, you will be able to say to that mountain, get up and throw yourself in the sea, and it will have to obey you. Now let me just clarify, because I know there's some of you still like, wow, this is blowing my mind, and it's kind of freaking me out at the same time. But let me just tell you, here's how you discern between the two. Here's how you discern between when it's God's will, it's God's purpose, or when it's witchcraft. You ready? Very simple. This is it. If it glorifies God and brings honor and glory to him, and it's according to his word and his will, then it's godly. But if it's glorifying you or it's serving your selfish purpose, then it's witchcraft. So for me to say, monitor, speaker, get up and move from here to there, there'd be no purpose for that right now, right? I see no godly purpose in commanding this thing to move. But if there were a godly purpose in it, if it were his will, and that's what he wanted me to do, I know because of Christ living in me, I have the power to make it move. Because I have the power, I know by Christ living in me, I have the power to speak to sickness and command it to leave the body. Amen. Jesus working through me, not me, him. All glory to him. Do you get it? So how are we going to be able to tell sickness to leave the body and it obey us if we don't believe the truth of God's word? If we're like, man, I don't want to touch any of that stuff. I don't want to touch any of that. That looks like sorcery. That looks like witchcraft. No, that's the word of God. Y'all with me? Can you hang in for one more question? I heard one yes, and it was for my wife, okay? All right, in closing. Dan Moeller speaks for 17 hours last weekend. Y'all are standing on your feet. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Question number 3. Have you allowed impatience and frustration to drive you to fulfill your dreams? This is a big one here, guys. It's a big one. Listen to me. A dream does not drive you. It draws you. A dream does not drive you, it draws you. It's like a big magnet pulling you toward itself. A lot of people are trying to make a name for themselves, and they are driven for all the wrong reasons. But God's dream for your life won't lead you to a selfish destination. Instead, it will pull you toward his likeness and his purposes. God's dream will pull you toward his likeness and his purposes. The more you follow the path that God has led you down to accomplish the dream that he placed inside of you, the more it looks like him. The more you start to see his purposes fulfilled in your life. If the destination doesn't bring all glory and honor to God and build his kingdom, it's the wrong destination. But it's not only about the destination, it's also about how we get there. It's how we get there. I believe every person in this place, everybody watching right now, there's a destination that God's called you to. That's your dream. That's your promise from God. That's your purpose for life. That's your spiritual DNA. I believe it's in you right now. And I believe this moment right now, it's about to come to life. There's some, it's already come to life. How many of you, it's already come into life in you? You're starting to see it more and more, okay? All right? Some of you, it's about to come to life right now. When I start to go down this path, you're going to see it come to life. The reason that you're not getting getting there, or the reason you feel like there's obstacles in your way and there's struggles in your way for you to get to God's purpose for your life and his dream for your life, is because you're going about it in the wrong way. You're taking the wrong path to get there. Maybe because of frustrations, maybe because of impatience, whatever it may be. Maybe it's because of the way you're doing it. So get this. If you're going after your God-given dream, if you're going to go after it, then you're going to have to do it God's way. And God's way is a selfless way. That's his way. It's a selfless way. It's not a selfish way. The more it looks like selflessness, the more it looks like God. The more you go down this path and it starts to look like selflessness, the more it's looking like God. The more that's going to be God's way. Listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to come be my follower, you must first give up your own, say it, way. Take up your cross and follow me. Is that up there? You want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. Turn from your selfish ways. You cannot pursue selfish ways and be on the path with the Master. It doesn't work. His path is a selfless path. He proved it with his life here on earth, didn't he? He gave everything he had, every drop of blood. It was completely selfless. He gave every drop of blood even before you accepted it. He gave every drop of blood even when he knew that there would be millions who would reject it. Selfless. So if you're stepping out in this path and you start to step on people in pursuit of your dream, that's not God's way. God's way is not stepping on people. That's the selfish way, and God doesn't honor that way. God's path to the dream that he's placed inside of you is full of life. Full of life. It's full of meaning. It builds people up along the way. It doesn't tear them down. If you're on their path to God's dream for your life, you're going to build everybody up around you. What was I telling you about Joseph in his dream? His dream was that all his brothers and his family would come and bow down to him. But that's not what the dream was about. It wasn't that his family would be subservient to him. It was that his family would all be blessed along with his dream. So everyone in his household lived with him in Egypt and were blessed and prospered because of his dream. And on the pursuit to your dream, your pursuit to your dream will prosper others. It will build others up if you're going God's way. Listen to God's way. This is what God's way looks like. Finish this with me. Give and it shall be given to you, right? What you sow you will also do unto others as you would have them do to you, right? It's all throughout the Word of God. Jesus said, if you want to be first, you must be last. For the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's the way the kingdom of God works. That's his path to our dream. His path is full of selflessness. There's no selfishness at all on his path to our dream. So along the way, we're going to be building others up. We're going to be encouraging others. That's what it's going to look like. I mean, look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. Jesus said, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. This is God's path to the dream that he's placed inside of us. If this, Matthew 25, 35 and 36 gets in your way to your dream, then it's not a God dream. Well, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and this and that, and I want to do this, and all for the glory of God. But you can't do this. Oh, I want to be known. I want to make Jesus known. I want to make Jesus famous. I want to make him famous, and all the while, I want my name to be out there too. Y'all still love me? I hope you still love me. If you can't do this, if you can't, because listen, when we stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, hey, did you pack out stadiums? Did people all over the world know your name? Did you have a big house and did you have a lot of cars and did you, you know, Were you very influential in the church? He's not going to ask us any of those things. You know that? You know what he's going to do? He's going to say, you, to my right, where I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was homeless, and you took me into your home. I was naked, you gave me clothes. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. So you are my sheep. And then he's going to look at the other group of people. I'm not going to point to you. I thought that wouldn't be fair. And he's going to say, depart from me, for I was hungry and you didn't give me something to eat. Many times on our pursuit of our God-given dream, we're stepping all over people to get there, and that's not God's way.
That's right.
And that will only frustrate us, and that will only lead to destruction.